You know, Peacock and NBC looking at Sunday nights, like wanting to lock it down, not just for football, but now all across the year. So between the NBA and let's see what happens with Major League Baseball. And then our good friend Tim May. Tim May is going to join us from Letterman Row. I digress. It's Tim May. We're going to talk a little Buckeye football with him, too. And at some point, Tom, we are going to sneak some high school in here. Okay?
Love it. Let's go.
I just want to make sure we do that.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to the question I asked you. And by the way, if you want to hop in, 216-474-0092. All right. Why is Gabriel ahead of Sanders?
Well, first of all, he was taken in the third round, right?
Yeah.
I think I was taken in the fifth round.
Okay.
Competent quarterback in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he obviously won the interview that he did with them.
Oh, for sure.
Pre-draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard really good things, you know, from that standpoint. Obviously, they put him out there, you know, against the ones in camp because they wanted to see if maybe he could potentially be their backup this season, if possible. They just felt like he was ahead of Shedeur Sanders from the standpoint that he, you know, he ran a much more complicated offense at Oregon than Sanders did at Colorado. Colorado's offense was basically...
Well, and that was Pat Shurmur too, right?
Let's find Travis Hunter and get him the ball. Knock on Shedeur. Accurate thrower. I think there's plenty there to like. There's growth potential. I think his ceiling is high. I think the Browns feel that way as well. I just don't think they want to rush him. I don't think they want to, you know, put him out there. What do you always hear coaches talk about, Andy? You're a coach as well. You want to put your players in positions where they can succeed, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they feel like they don't want to rush the process with him. Let it happen slowly. Let it be organic. You know, God forbid there's injuries where suddenly, like what happened to DTR,
right?
You know, and then suddenly you wreck any progress you could make with the kid. So I think the slow play is the right play here with both these kids. And I just think that Gabriel, based on where he was taken in the draft, and his college pedigree, was a step ahead of Shedeur, and I think that still holds.
I also think that fans aren't listening to Shedeur when he speaks.
Well, if you heard him yesterday,
yeah,
there was a part of me. He's got a lot to learn still.
Yeah,
I know.
But no one wants to hear that. Everyone wants to be able to walk in the coffee shop and say, I have 1,000 different ways to look at this, and I want that coffee in less than 5 seconds. I want it now. Hurry up.
And this idea, like, listen, I know we live in a society that is, you know, consumed with conspiracy theories now. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to get into this Eric Dickerson thing here in a few minutes, but
right.
There was no conspiracy to keep Shedeur, you know, back here in camp. You know, they felt like this is what he needed and warranted at this point in his playing career. And I think, you know, listen, we all have the scars here to show for what has happened with the Browns quarterback situation. And I think that plays a role here. I also think that Shedeur's celebrity plays a big role here. He's a personable kid. He's a likable kid. I mean, I think everybody wants to see this kid succeed. I mean, he's and obviously the first time he went out there on the field as an NFL player, you saw signs of why this team went ahead and picked him.
Right.
When people were saying that the NFL was telling people not to take him. So, listen, there's reason to like both these kids. And let's just hope that they can come along at a slow process.
All right, let's take a couple phone calls. Steve is in Lyndhurst. Hey, Steve.
Well, I hear you, Tom, and I respect your opinion. But, you know, to me, I guarantee you, if Dylan would have went out and played like Sanders played in that first game, he'll definitely be the backup. We wouldn't be no ifs, no buts about it. And if Sanders flip-flopped like Dylan did with that pick six and, you know, fumbled the ball in the red zone, he'll probably be looking at getting cut today, you know, next week. So the eye contest tells me that Dylan looked like a rookie under duress. Anybody can sit back there when you protect it well and deliver the football and be accurate with it. But as an NFL quarterback, it's two things I look at. What do you do when you get in the red zone under duress when you be made to feel uncomfortable in the pocket? Sanders threw two touchdowns, and it was no easy touchdown. He threw two tough touchdowns. And under duress, Dylan threw a pick six. And people try to minimize that. Oh, well, that doesn't really mean nothing because he's playing well up until that point. Jameis Winston.
Well, you do have to give him a little bit of credit for, I mean, he was moving the offense. And the other problem, Steve, is, and I'll say I'm in the same position you are, the eye test for you and me is if we were looking at a deck of cards, we see one card, and that card is what we see in these preseason games. Unfortunately, there's 51 other cards underneath there that we're not seeing at practice, and we don't see all those other things. Tom, what were you saying?
Am I missing something here? I mean, I watched Dylan Gabriel go 6 for 6 on third downs. You know, that's not diminishing anything that Shador did, but I thought Gabriel played as well as Shador did in his debut.
But you're not taking in the fact that Shador never had not one snap with the first team offense, not one.
Okay, I appreciate it. Listen, here's the thing with that. This, and Tom, I want you to answer this question for me.
Wait, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
What does the first team offense have to do with the first team offense wasn't playing in the first preseason game. So what's he talking about in practice?
Here's my point. Okay, look.
Sorry, I'm a little confused.
Well, that's okay. Here's the point that I don't understand. We know that Shador went up against R1s during practice a couple times during camp, right? Is that not a first team rep? If you go up against a team's first team defense, even if it's your own, this is where this whole
everyday
rep thing is insane.
Yeah, I know.
It's insane. It's over the top.
I heard my good friend Dan Menigan say yesterday, we've all lost our collective minds over this situation. And to a degree, we have. I think everybody's gotten a little bit caught up in it. And let's just pump the brakes. Everybody slow down. Take a deep breath. It's going to work out. Or it's not.
let's take this. AY, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's a good word?
Good word is let's just all chill out. I mean, it's only the third game of the preseason, but Joe Flacco is fine as a starter, I think so. And we should keep two backups.
Shador
and another backup, like Dylan or Pickett.
All right, good stuff. Thank you. Sticking with traditional NFL history, he wants to have one starting quarterback and two backups. Great conversation.
Let's go for it.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. See if it pays off.
You waited out old for like an hour to tell us that. Drake is in Cleveland. Hey, Drake.
How are you doing, Andy?
Good. All right. It's good to talk to you, my friend.
Mr. Tom Withers, nice to finally hear you on the radio. I know you've been on a few times, but I always seem to miss you. So it's good stuff y'all got going on here.
Thanks, Drake.
What you got?
I just wanted to know, you know, we all watch football. We all know what a winner looks like. I just wanted to ask you one question. When you watch the two quarterbacks, what do you see?
In terms of what? You're asking if they're...
In terms of when you see one quarterback out there on the field and you see what's happening when he's out there, and then you see the other quarterback on the field and you see what's happening when he's out there. Because I'm having a hard time understanding why one quarterback had 106 quarterback rating and the other quarterback had a 72 quarterback rating. One quarterback threw two touchdowns and led another drive of a running back score, and the other quarterback didn't even get in the end zone, but yet I'm hearing people say, oh, well, he played better. Man, make it make sense for me, please.
Yeah, well,
no vitriol today.
Thanks, Drake.
I hear you, Drake. Hey, so meanwhile, you got a Drake shirt on. I like that.
I'm wearing my Drake football.
Listen, small sample size. Again, I'll say what I said before. I think everybody should be so encouraged by the way both of the kids played. I think there was huge strides made. There were mistakes made by both of them. I'm sure they got them corrected. I like what I've seen out of both kids. Now, in terms of, it's almost unfair to compare them because their styles are so very different.
And they went up against two different teams.
And two different teams, yeah. and different backups, what have you. And quarterback ratings, 106 and a 72. Gabriel threw a ball that went the other way for a touchdown. That can't happen. I don't care if it's in practice or in a game or what have you. And I'm sure that's going to get cleaned up. But you have to be encouraged by what you've seen. I think we get all caught up in this comparing, one to the other, down for down. There are so many variables in every single snap, Andy, that you can't do that. Like I said before, it's like that PFF thing. We don't know exactly what's going on. We don't know who missed assignment. I'll say this on the pick six that Gabriel threw, and I'm not making excuses for him. He had two receivers in the same area there. He should have thrown the thing into the ground. Instead, yes. He kind of put it between the two of them. The tight end actually pulled his hands away, thinking the ball was going to the wide receiver, which is why it was intercepted and taken the other way. I thought they both ran the offense well. I didn't think there were any real...
Gerard said that during the broadcast, too, to back up what you're saying. Gerard was on the field, and it was like, yeah, he was listening to the radio call that right? on that, too, and they said the same thing. Like, I think all three of the guys that were calling the game all said, he never should have thrown that ball, but, and then they gave you the same but that
you just and then made. Listen, and to Drake's point, the Browns have created this problem here, right? Which is that they take a high profile quarterback in the fifth round after they've taken a quarterback that they really liked in the third round. And now you're going to have this inevitable comparisons going on. So again, as we've said all along here, let's all slow down. Let's let this happen. It'll all work out.
All right, I'm going to take one more phone call. Then I want to play this Eric Dickerson cut for you before we go to break. We'll play it for you twice because it's pretty impactful. Paul in Cleveland. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Good. How are you?
All right, I'm good, man. I just want to talk about the timeline. I just want to give you guys a timeline of what I've been seeing so far because I've been following this thing for a while.
Okay.
All the way up until the draft, Shador was projected to be the second quarterback, maybe even the first quarterback off the board, correct?
By analysts,
Okay, another one. All through training camp, what has Dylan done besides turn the ball over? We hear multiple reports about him turning the ball over.
What you're saying?
He turns the ball over. And up to the game.
He thinks Gabriel turns the ball over.
Gabriel turns the ball over?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So, and up until game day, preseason, we get a view of both of them, and he does exactly what he does. This is who he is. Dylan Gabriel is going to turn the ball over. I called it in before the game started. I said, he's going to turn the ball over. That's who he is. Shador, all through training camp, has done what? Besides perform.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Paul makes a good point, but again, you know, we can't report what we saw out there this week. Let me just say that the rookie quarterbacks had some issues.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
All right, I want to play this cut for you before we go to break, because this is really interesting. All right, I'll play it when we come back from break. We'll do that in a second. So, but it's what Eric Dickerson said, and you need to hear it. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.